Today on the Tin Manor podcast show, I've got Ashley, Marie Higgins and Tallulah. Yeah? From Little Lady Locks. What is Little Lady Locks?
Little Lady Locks is a registered children's charity that give children their confidence back after losing their hair. And we do that by providing free hair services, which include wigs, hats with hair on, customised hair extensions, just to make them get back to their old self again and feel.
Why did you set this up in the first place? What's your sort of experience with this? Where has your experience come from? Hairdresser, hair salon, what?
When I left school, I did law at college and I went down that route. So after 5 years, I wanted a career change. So I went into hair, extensions. Now going from an academic background into like the hair industry, I was constantly learning new methods of hair extensions. And then I did hair replacements. So you might have seen them on TikTok. It's going quite viral at the minute. People with hair loss, they're having like a mesh system on top of the hair. So I was doing that about 8 years ago. Just through speaking with the adult clients, I realised that there wasn't much help out there for kids. So yeah, set up the charity and now it's an official registered charity. We've been registered with the Charity Commission of England and Wales since 2021. And yeah, I'm doing it alongside my full-time job. So I don't do the charity as my main job. And it's just growing and growing every week. And yeah, I'm just getting myself out here because we need more help and support.
Why?
So a woman called Laura approached me and said her five-year-old was depressed. She said, I've seen the amazing work that you do. And would you consider doing it on a child? So at first I thought, you know, I don't think a child would be able to look after the hair, you know. But then once I trialed it myself, on the children, I realised that the parents look after the hair, you know, the parents wash the kids' hair, the parents style the kids' hair. So it's actually the parents that maintain these systems. So yeah, I trialled it on two children for about 6 months. One was 5-year-old Harper, one was 16-year-old Ruba, and the results was phenomenal. Like we went on the BBC news. We got loads of coverage, radio and stuff, and then it just grew from there.
That's amazing, that.
I know.
Why did you Did you know that that was your calling?
Literally, like, yeah. I thought the feeling of helping.
Nick, have you ever been fulfilled like that before?
No, you'll get me upset thinking about it. Like, it just gives you like a feeling that nothing else can compare to it. Like, seeing. And the parents crying, saying, like, you've literally changed my child's life. They was depressed. And now you've given them, like, a lease of life back. It's just something that you can't put into words.
Did you ever know you'd, like, we're going to do this?
No. It was just, like, pure coincidence.
Universe has kind of just put
literally chose me.
And, like, the card that you got the other day.
So I've been trying to do some self-care because I was working so much trying to build the charity. We got triple the referrals in November. And it was putting a lot of pressure on me just because I work full time.
Yeah.
My admin assistant left because she couldn't deal with the pressure. So we had to do her full time job alongside my full time job. I was not going to the gym, not looking after myself, not eating properly. And then I thought, right, I'm going to kind of start looking after myself. So someone recommended Reiki. Never been before. Mm. Went to a lovely lady called Jean. And she said, would you like your cards read? Angel cards. So she had two cards, packs of cards on the table. Now, as you can see, we love pink. That's our charity colour. Yeah. And there was one card, all pink with butterflies. And there was another card, set of cards, and it was green with like this like light on it. And me, knowing myself, would have picked the pink ones, but I was really drawn to the green ones. Yeah. Anyway, I picked five cards out of there and one of them was saying, the angels are thanking you for helping the children. And I was sobbing my heart out and I thought, out of all the cards that she laid out, I picked that one. I was really, really like overwhelmed. I was crying the whole Reiki, but yeah. It was amazing. Yeah, definitely recommend someone.
How wild is it to balance something like that? Because obviously meeting amazing human beings like this next year. puts a lot of pressure on you as well, because you kind of got compassionate fatigue is kind of...
Yeah, I think I'm really strong-minded. I think helping and being around the children, like Tallulah's fought leukemia, all the stuff that she's going through. I think once you're going through trauma yourself, like I've had a few bad breakups with guys, and I think it puts it into perspective, like the biggest wealth that you can have is health, and it really like pushes me through it. But how I deal with it is... Well, I think I've been close to cracking a few times, just because the pressure is really immense now. So I've been pushing myself to try and get like more support from like businesses, because at the minute I was just posting stuff on Instagram and people was cutting the hair off and raising a few £100, which was sustainable at the time. But now the new referrals have tripled. Like, for example, we get around £3,000 a month from people.
Brilliant.
But the new referrals this month is going to cost us alone £7,500. So I need to push myself, get help out there.
Well, need to start doing more YouTube videos, don't you?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Spreading awareness. And we've just launched a new like membership for £25 a month. Just trying to get like even if like 100 people did that. So yeah, we're really trying to get it out there and just try and help these girls. And we're not like any other charity. I think some people have the perception, you know, that these founders and stuff are paid £500,000 of stuff, but you know, I work full time alongside the charity. You know, the money goes to these kids that need it.
So give me the experience then of what happens. Let's go through to Tallulah's experience.
Yeah.
And tell me that, Tallulah. Tell me what happened. And...
So when I lost my hair, I was like, so I got diagnosed on the 6th of April, and as soon as I found out I had it, the first like thing I asked was like, am I going to lose my hair? And my dad was like, probably, because there's a chance that you don't, but you're more likely to lose it. And I just like burst out crying. But then the next day I just got myself ready for it. And like, I was like dyeing my hair pink and doing all I could with my hair. And then I got a wig from a charity and it wasn't as... It was kind of a disappointment when I got it, because it was like the hospital recommended it, and then I was like really excited for this like cool wig I thought it would look like in my hair, but it just didn't. And I was like stuck with that wig for a while, and then someone recommended Little Lady Locks to my mum, and I'd been there before because I went there last year to get my hair done, and I was like, I know like where that is, like I know I can go there. And when I went...
What is it? Fails.
It was in Fairsworth. Yeah. And when I went, it was just like a good experience, because you actually like go there and get your head measured, and it wasn't like the other charity where you had to measure it in the hospital and send it off and stuff. Like, you could, it was like all pink, the shop and stuff. And then when I got my wig, I just felt like myself again. And I come in with these... Should I tell them about the turban?
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, it's so hard for me to empathise and understand what this means.
Yeah.
So it's important for you, you know, to tell me, what is that journey that you've been through, mate, from, like, getting diagnosed to...
So I got diagnosed in the 6th of April, and I went for free blood tests before that, because I went for the bloods in February 6th.
What, are you not feeling right? What's...
So I was really poorly. I just, like, felt sick every day, and I'd go in my mum's room in the morning and be like, I feel really sick, and like, she thought I was just wanting to skip school. I was like... And then my bones was really sore, and I got, like, a rash all over my body, like a prickly rash. And I had hit my leg a few days before I come in hospital, and it went into like this massive bruise. It was really big, and I drew around it, and it was just spreading around my leg, and it went into a massive lump. And it was, and then my mum was like, "Should we send an A&E for that?" But we didn't end up going, because I was due another blood test anyway, so we were just gonna show the doctor then. And then I went for the bloods on the 5th of April, and I went from about 5 o'clock, and then by 2 a.m. on the 6th of April, the GP knocked on our door to saying that I was really poorly and I needed to be admitted. And then...
What were you thinking at that time?
My mum wouldn't tell me what it was. She was saying it because I didn't know what leukemia was, but she didn't know that I... Like, she just didn't want to say anything just in case. Like, she thought it was wrong. Like, no way I could have had leukemia.
She don't want to worry you yet, kind of
no,
thing.
No, just in case it was like a false test.
Yeah.
And then I was in hospital for 6 weeks. And after 3 days, they phoned us and said none of my chemo had worked. And then it wasn't working. So there's three regiments. There's regiment A, which is not so strong. And then regiment B, which is pretty strong, and then Regiment C, which is really strong, and then I was on B, and then they moved me to C, and that was putting me in remission, but they found out that I had this gene that was a rare form of leukemia called the Philadelphia gene, which makes my cancer come back. Even if I have chemo, it'll always come back. And then they said that I would need a bone marrow transplant because there's ALL and AML, but then you can get a rare form called CML, which is really rare to get, and that was the one that obviously I had. And then I had to have a bone marrow transplant, so I got diagnosed in April, and then I got it in the October, so I had to find a donor, and luckily I got 100% match. It was a 29 male.
When was this?
From England. It was in September this last year, and then October I had my transplant. So I had to have radiation and stuff. So I went in October 10th, and then I had an intense chemo for 4 days.
What's that like?
It was horrible. So I didn't like, think
what,
I would...
What do you mean?
So I didn't think I would be so poorly so fast. But as soon as I had the chemo, I was just being sick, and I was really poorly, and I was really tired. And then after the 4 days, I had to go
You're sort of like... Not yeah. playing it down there, right? You were talking like...
Yeah, I was super poor there. I was like... I couldn't lift my head off my pillow and stuff like that. And then I was like being sick and stuff, and the doctors was like... My mum was like unsure about the transplant before, like when they said it, and the doctors was like, this transplant is literally to save my life. Like there was nothing else. Like that was just to save my life.
It was incurable with the Philadelphia gene, so she wouldn't be here now if she didn't have the bone marrow transplant.
Yeah, and then I had to have radiation for 3 days, and that made me super poorly, and that stopped my growth, and I had to have my ovary took out before that in the August because I wouldn't be able to have kids when I'm older because of the intense treatment from bone marrow transplant. And I wouldn't, like, be able to... I'd have to have hormone injections now from the radiation and from my immunotherapy that I had before my transplant to get me ready for it. And then when I had my transplant, I had my transplant on the 18th. My donor got it took out on the 17th. And that's, like, testing and stuff. And then I didn't really feel anything. It's just a drip, my transplant, so it's just like a bag of blood
right.
that they put up, and they put it through your Hickman line, which is on my chest, and it goes through my bloodstream. And that's like, it just took an hour to go through, and then after that I was a bit tired, but I was okay. And I had a t-shirt saying like Strong Girls Club on whilst I was having it.
How have you been so strong through this?
I don't know. Well, all my
nurses... There's just something inside you that's
everyone
getting...
Everyone says on the ward that the kids are stronger than the parents.
Yeah.
The kids don't... I think they're just so... Like,
yeah, I'll be honest, I'm so crumbling inside talking to you. I'm going to be honest with you.
They're like really resilient.
Can I just say she's 12 years old? 12 honestly, years old.
Thank God. Honestly, I've nearly gone a few times, mate, to be honest.
And then I was in for 3 months. They said it could have been 4, but yeah. I was obviously... I just wanted to get out because I wanted to see my little brother and my sister like so bad. So I was like really desperate to get out because there's no siblings allowed in the ward. Like it's just in a cubicle for 3 months with me and my mum. My nana was allowed to stay some nights, but it was just me and my mum. I wasn't allowed out of that room at all.
Because your immune system was that low?
Yeah, I was immune suppressed, so I had nothing. I had zero of everything. My mum had to wear a mask if she wanted to get anything out of the ward. And I was on a neutropenic diet, so I wasn't allowed bottled water. I was only allowed tap water. I wasn't allowed...
What do you mean by that?
I thought I would only be allowed bottled water, but I'm only allowed, like, tap water. and not forever, but just whilst I've been the transplant and like a few months after transplant. And I wasn't allowed food that had been open for more than an hour.
So they're saying tap water's better than...
Yeah. So it's healthier than boiled water.
I've never heard of that
before. No, honestly.
And then I wasn't allowed... all my food had to be like in packages. I wasn't allowed food that had been open for an hour. Because like disease can grow in it in an hour.
That quick.
Wow.
And like I wasn't allowed seafood and like it was just mad diet. I wasn't allowed. But I wasn't eating really anyway. Like if I had like a tube feed from my tube,
yeah,
it would just make me sick. So I was on a thing called TPN, which goes through my line, and that like gives me all my nutrients. And so I wasn't really eating for 3 months, which shrunk my stomach. So then when I wanted to eat again, it like kind of made me feel sick.
A little drink.
Oh yeah.
I can't believe you can remember all the terminology.
I know.
And stuff like.
I'm like, so I can't pronounce some of them.
And then I had like 3 months in, and then when I got home, I got this thing called graft versus host. So I was home for like a week. And then it's where your body fights the transplant.
Okay, give me a break.
And I had a bone marrow test, which checks my cancer levels. And one came back negative, which means I was cancer free. And the next one come back that I had 10.6% cancer, which is a really low amount. But the graft versus host fought that, which was lucky that I got the graft versus host to fight the rest of the cancer off. And then it came back negative the next one. And then on the 6th of January, after all the graft versus host, I obviously got a cold or something. And instead of my body fighting the cold, it fought my nervous system, which is something called Guillain-Barre, which paralysed me. So I got paralysed.
I can't handle anymore. Go on.
So I got paralysed for 6 weeks.
What do you mean, paralysed? Just
so
like you can't
fucking
move.
From my waist, I could not move anything. And I was being hoisted out my bed by a machine to get in the shower. If I wanted a shower, I was having like baths in my bed. Like I was getting like bed baths, which is like where you just wipe you down and stuff. And I had like a catheter in because I stopped weighing and I couldn't weigh. And I couldn't, like, control any of my body. And then...
How long ago was this?
This was on the 6th of January that I got paralysed. This year. And then I got... And then it took
paralysed.
Yeah, 4 weeks to, like, move, like, a muscle. It said it could have took, like, 3 months. Like, 6 months to 3 years.
Where's your head at when you're paralysed? Where did your head go?
I just didn't... I don't think I understood what... paralyzed. I knew what paralyzed meant, but when you're actually paralyzed, you just don't think anything of it because it paralyzed me from my hair.
Yeah.
Luckily, my arms didn't get paralyzed, but there was numb, and my nerves are still messed up from it. So like my legs will just randomly twitch now, and I just won't like know I'm
doing
it.
Did you feel sad, like being?
Yeah, I
don't
know.
Place.
And I think I just had no dignity because my mum was washing me in my bed, and I couldn't shower myself or do anything by myself. And then randomly one night I was just in my bed watching my telly, and I just thought I feel like I could move my leg, and I could move a little bit of my foot, which I wouldn't have been able to do for like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I moved a little bit of my foot. I've got a video of it if you want me to find it.
Yeah.
And I moved my foot, and we was in shock because we was like, and my mum ran out and like got the nurse, and I'm like, my toddler has just moved a foot. And then from then they started the physio because it was like, that's like, they thought I was strong enough to.
Are they thinking that you could be paralysed for life?
They thought I would be paralysed for quite a few years, yeah.
Which is that stubborn and that strong.
I'm too stubborn. They was like, you're not getting home for your sister's birthday, which was on the 6th of February.
Have you got that in your head?
Yeah, well, like, I'm not getting on for my sister's birthday. And then I thought in my head, I am going to get on for my sister's birthday. And I did get on for my sister's birthday. He was like, no, you're not getting on. This was what I did. This was in my bed. That's all I could do with my legs. And I could, like, bend my knees a bit.
She's fucking killing me.
And then and I did that, and then they started the physio. And
I'm
then,
so glad you're so strong, mate, honestly.
And then they started the paralysed treatment, which is called the TBI. And then I ended up not being able to lift my head off my pillow, and I had a really bad headache. And I was doing this weird thing in my sleep where my eyes was rolling back and stuff. And they was like, it's just medication. And then my old BNT nurse, my old cancer nurse come in, my McMillan nurse come in to see us. And they was like, we're not seeing you in ages. And I was asleep in the bed and I was doing that weird thing. And she was like, does she always do that in her sleep? And my mum was like, no, she doesn't usually do it, but they've been saying it's medication. And I was been doing it for like weeks and weeks since they started the TBI. And they was like, my nurse ran out and got my doctors and stuff, and they woke me up and they were like, she's been having sleep seizures. So I was having seizures in my sleep from the treatment. So they had to start a course of steroids, which helped, because I had meningitis, that's what they said I had. So they had to sort that out and then restart the TBI. But then when they started the steroids, I got up and I was like practicing to walk and stuff, like I was like standing up on, like, I can try find a video on me. I was on a bench, like there was a bench in front of me, and I was like pushing myself up off the bench to stand up.
And you're 12.
12. Who was the guy who you did a PT with?
Javino, J7 Health Club.
The lady out there knew who he was.
I think I know you mean.
Let me find this video.
12, I can't believe you're 12.
Honestly, so...
You're like so much stronger than me.
So when was it that you messaged me saying, can I come and help in the salon?
Like a few weeks after.
What do you mean?
She said, can I come and help out in the salon to thank you for helping me?
Less than a week after I got out of hospital.
She was like, can I just come and make brews? I was like...
Here I am, trying to stand up with my videos.
Well, I know I'm videoing this, but I don't care. This is for me, this podcast.
So what we'll do, any videos, we can show them at the end.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So that was me standing up for the first time.
You are legit, mate.
That was me standing up for the first time.
After how long?
After 4 weeks.
4 weeks? I've been 3 years.
He said 3 years. I was like...
Wow.
And then I was on oxygen as well because of how it like paralysed my windpipe. So I was on oxygen and it was like dropping my oxygen levels. And then I had a surgery where they put cold spray in my mouth, and that, like, I was on nebulizers and everything because it had like blocked my lungs up. Then I started on a Zimmerframe because they was doing that bench for like quite a few weeks. And then after like 6 weeks, they tried me on like a Zimmerframe because I could like move my legs whilst I was standing up.
Mm.
And then after my Zimmerframe, I was on my Zimmerframe for like 2 weeks. And then one day I just asked, like, can I practice like walking without my Zimmerframe? Because my mind just said I could do it. And I walked around the whole ward without my Zimmerframe. And everyone was in shock, and all my nurses and all my play workers and stuff was crying their eyes out.
Were you like this before you got diagnosed? Did you have this within you? There's an internal strength you've got, mate.
I'm really stubborn and determined. And I've
always been like that.
Yeah, I've always been like that. And it used to like annoy my mum, but now she said, it's like, I'm so lucky that I've been that stubborn, because I don't think I would have got through it without being so determined to get home and stuff.
Wow, mate.
And then I just like was walking, and then there was like, use your Zimmerframe for a few weeks. And then I learned how to do the stairs, because that's the reason he wasn't letting me home, because my bathroom and my bedroom was upstairs. And then I did the stairs and they let me home. And then I ended up back in because I had like severe stomach pains. I ever got rushed in ambulance, but they said it was just from like the medication I was having in store.
Right, I thought you were going to drop something else.
No. And then I got to go home because there was a little girl on my ward that's pretty poorly. And she was having a Disney party because she was too poorly to go to Disneyland. And I was like determined to get to a party, but obviously I got rushed in the ambulance the day before and my stomach was still a bit sore, but I made sure I got to a party because she wanted me to walk her out the limo. because she's not going to be here for very much longer.
She's got stage four.
She's got stage four York sac tumour. So she's got a tumour here.
Yeah.
And she came in 3 weeks after me, before like the start of my treatment. She came in 3 weeks after me. And
we did her one of the turbans, didn't we?
Yeah, we so for a party we did one of the turbans. So she came in 3 weeks after me. And we did like our whole journey together, and we were like in and out of hospital together. And then she rang the bell after 3 months, and me and mum was thinking that was a bit fast, like, but we just didn't think, we didn't really think anything of it, but we were just like, I didn't think it would be that fast for him. And then after like a month or so, they got called back in because she was having pains, and she had a scan, and it spread everywhere, and it was, and then the treatment was working again, and then it just stopped working for her. And then they said that she's got a few weeks left when she couldn't get to Disneyland. So me and my mum raised her a bunch of money to get her to Disneyland. And we got like a free trip to Disney and stuff, and like got raised loads of money for when she's there and for insurance and stuff. And because we're not really allowed to fly, but because different circumstances, she would have been allowed to fly. But because of her hemoglobin, if she was in the air, she would have like went into cardiac arrest or anything could have happened to her. And then they got Disney, Disney, the headquarters in London asked me if they could make him a party, which they did. And she got a Disney theme party, which she wanted me to walk out the limo onto a red carpet. So I made sure I could get there for her.
Can't believe how articulate you are.
And we got her a Tallulah turban, which is what the charity makes.
What's that?
When I first come in, I come in with a turban on.
Right.
I can show you the turban.
Yeah, show me.
So basically, any hair accessories that children like to wear.
Yeah.
It first started off with the Lexi hat. So Lexi come in for a wig fitting. This is another little lady. And it was a really hot day. And she had a little bucket hat on. So she's had no hair. She had no hair at all underneath. And she said, I hate it in Tesco. She said, everyone's looking at me because I'm a bald girl and you can tell under my hat. She said, I'm sick of people staring. It really upset me. So I thought I could just sew some hair extensions onto the lining of the bucket hat. So it's still the material on top, but it gives the illusion that she has hair so people aren't staring. So that was the Lexi hat. Then Tallulah come in with a turban.
So these are my turbans. I just got them off Amazon, really. And then, but my friend, she had Hodgkin's lymphoma started 2022, and then when I got diagnosed, she was in my school, so she was like helping me out, and she was in year 11 doing her GCSEs whilst helping me. Like, she made me a hamper of like things that I would have, like sickness tablets that I could have, and like these, one of these turbans. And then I asked her where they was from, because she got me a blue one, and that was the blue one I used for Eliza. And then I got this one, and I come in the shop with one on, and they was like, can we sew some hair into your turban? And then I give them my turban, and then they made the Tallulah turban.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. Isn't
it? You have the hat on, and it doesn't make it itchy as well. It's just got hair on the bottom.
Oh yeah, so we named it after her.
And then you made it Tallulah turban. And then we wanted to make Eliza one for a party, and we couldn't find a hat that would come in time. And then I remembered I had the blue turban that my friend had got me.
Yeah.
So I sewed, and then I was like, that's the only one that we could use that would look really good. So I gave them that one, and we sewed like a stitch, because she's obsessed with stitch at the minute, and we sewed like a stitch badge onto it.
Because her favourite, you know, character is, Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah, I know.
And I got a Stitch phone case for her.
Yeah.
And I showed it when I went to see her the other day with.
So, and you took it to a party, didn't you?
Yeah, I took it to a party, and she was obsessed with it. I've got pictures of her in it, if you want me to show you.
She loves showing, doesn't she?
I know. I love just letting you see
her. Memories, mate. Moments.
Yeah. Oh, bless. Eliza really, really got to me, I think. Yeah.
When I went to see her in hospital the other day, she had it on a teddy bear, the turban. So she brings it everywhere with her.
So, yeah.
Why did that get to you so much?
Just because the little ladies come in, and like, so when Tallulah left the salon at first with her.
There's us two together.
Fucking breaking my heart on.
I was Alice in Wonderland and she was Belle.
I got that, thank you. I'm not that old. That is class, that.
Yeah, so when Tallulah left the salon with her new wig.
Them wigs are amazing.
I know.
Aren't they?
Yeah.
Like, proper good.
We've just done a collab with, you know, Kaz Crosland from Love Island. She wants to help the charity.
Right.
And these are Kaz bands. Right. So what she's got on at the minute, yeah. So when Tallulah left the salon with her new wig, she was like, had a little lease of life. She was doing TikToks.
There she is.
It's cool, wasn't it?
So she had like a new lease of life doing TikToks, and I thought that's what 12-year-olds should be doing, you know, confident, doing the TikTok dances and stuff. And that's kind of the feeling that I usually get with the charity. And I thought the Disneyland party, I thought the Disneyland party was a birthday. And when they told me that, it was a farewell.
They told me that
it was a farewell party, and she really wanted this stitched turban. And Tallulah said that, and when she got to the party, she ran over to you, didn't she?
She ran over to me straight away.
Like, to get the turban.
Thank God, Jesus.
I was meant to walk around the limo, but because I was in hospital, we didn't really get there on time, so... She got out of the limo and then she ran to me straight away because she was like, where's my wig? I really want to see it. And I showed her and like the door dropped and everyone was clapping for her and videoing her with it on. And I was like,
If you look at the pictures from a party, like she looks so reserved, you know, without hair on. And then when she's got this stitched turban on, she's dancing with the princesses. And
yeah, I've got
it really got to me because it was just so hard because she's the first one that it's not been...
There's a dancing with the princesses. They did a whole song for her. She's just like a cute little spinning minute. It's the cutest video. But she says that she sends me like TikToks and stuff saying I'm my best friend and like, she misses me so much. And I was like... And she gave me, this will make you cry. So when I was going to get to Disneyland, we thought that she could go. And I said, when you get to Disneyland, make sure you get, if I'm raising all this money for you, you've got to get me a picture of you with Dumbo and get me a Dumbo teddy. Mm. But she was never able to go. So when I seen her in hospital the other day, she'd still got me the Dumbo teddy for getting her a Disney party.
Yeah.
So I've kept it on my bed for her. She got me a Dumbo teddy.
And you've said all this story and you've not even said about the fundraiser when you first got in hospital.
So when I first got in hospital, the day I got my bloods done, my mum got me a squishmallow as a present for getting my bloods done, because usually I'd be fighting the doctors for it.
Yeah, it's like a big soft teddy, it's super really soft.
Cute teddy.
Bit like a jelly cat kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with jelly cats too.
You want, Tim?
No. And then I brought it with me the whole time I was in hospital, this squishmallow my mum got me. I already had loads, but this new one I brought with me. And I was thinking whilst I was in there, I was like, I need to get the kids all one, because every night I would lie on it, and because it's so comfortable.
So all the kids on the ward was kind of envious that she had this really big teddy. So she set up a fundraiser.
And I raised £1,000 to get all the kids on the ward a squishmallow.
And it's just so inspiring, when they're going through all this, the world's worst thing, and there's just still trying to help. She's got a really big heart, hasn't she? Yeah, she's got. Such... Yeah.
I just love giving presents out to people. It's my fave.
Have you thought of going through this and what you've been through? That is this your calling now, to inspire other kids and stuff? Have you thought that? What have you thought about?
I want to be a nurse when I'm older to help, to give back to everyone that's helped me.
Yeah.
And also helping Little Lady Locks. I wanted to help kids as well, because...
Talk to me about what Little Lady Locks has done for you, Tallulah. Tell me about that.
So when I got my wig, I just felt like me again. I felt like I could express myself more and they said that I could go back to school for a few days in September, just before I went into transplant. And I was really excited because I could wear my wig and be like myself again. So I went in year 7 and I wore my turban and it just didn't feel like when I was at school and we was plaiting each other's hair and like, so it just felt good to have my hair back and like to wear it.
I think what a lady told me, a lady client, she said, it's not what the hair does for you, it's just that you're not thinking about the hair. She said, when you lose your hair, that's all you think about.
Right.
You're upset constantly, you know, you're looking in the mirror. Every time you see someone in public, you're feeling terrible, you're feeling awful. She said, but when you have your hair on, you can live life again. So it's more about the...
It's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, like the week before I shaved my hair, I think I got myself so ready for it. And then I just woke up to one day and I was like, I want to shave my hair off. And my mum was like, are you sure? Like, she didn't want me to shave it off. We was like, got to the point where I could not style it at all. Like, I was having to do one braid, but then that wasn't even covering like the bald part of my head. And then I was just like, yeah, I just want to get rid of it.
You were ready. You mentally prepared yourself.
I mentally prepared my head to shave my head.
Wow.
And then I just shaved it off and I was laughing. My mum was like,
how do you do that? How do you mentally prepare yourself to shave your head?
I was just like, it'll grow back. Like, I was just thinking in my head, like, it'll grow back. Like, it'll grow back like 10 times faster and 10 times healthier. And I had dye in my hair, because I dyed my hair before I got diagnosed. And I was like, and then I will have to dye my hair and I'll be like, it'll come back a different colour and it could come back curly. And I was like,
this is the conversation you're having in your head.
Yeah.
I was like getting ready for like my new hair and I was like, and then I was like, I can get a wig anyway, like I can just replace my hair.
What advice would you give to other kids going through this who are right at that stage?
You have to mentally prepare yourself before you do anything. If you just shave your hair off, then it's just going to get you upset. But then if you think about like how nice your hair is going to be when it comes back, or like how nice your wig will be, like you have to think about how nice the hair that you'll wear will be, and like you can colour it and like style it by yourself as well. And it's easier to wash as well, your wigs, because you could just take them off. You don't have to.
Yeah, like, you dropped your hair off once, didn't you?
I was like,
she dropped it off at the salon,
and she just curled it for me, and it was just so much easier than having to sit like in the salon chair and get it curled.
Tallulah is such a strong little lady. A lot of the children that come to our charity, you know, and the hair doesn't necessarily grow back with alopecia. You never know that. So for anyone who suffers with hair loss,
yeah.
With alopecia, there's no timeline of it growing back, so it could never grow back. So Tallulah is a really good case of a strong young girl.
Mm.
But a lot of the children that come to the charity, you know, are...
Yeah, I think if the alopecia ones, you just kind of have to think, like, how nice your wig's going to be and how real it's going to look.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's not going to grow back and it's not
if
like
if you had a nice wig, though.
If you had a nice wig, it just feels like yourself and
you
just feel so much better with...
Like, not everybody's as stubborn as you and got that discipline, have they?
I know, true. I just have to think about being stubborn.
Yeah.
But yeah,
that
if you...
discipline, that determination doesn't come easy, my mum
used to hate me being stubborn. She was like, you're so like stubborn. But now it's just got me for the good.
So. Got you through.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're totally like, gobsmacked me just how amazing you are. The little lady locks then, how much does a wig cost?
So currently the wig makers are at a really reduced rate just because there's not enough funds in the pot. So just to put it into perspective, they take 60 hours to make the hand knot them. So I'll send you a video at the end. They literally knot it strand by strand. So people cut the hair off
strand
for us.
Strand by strand?
Yeah, I was like, I've not got the patience for that.
Wow.
So the wig cap itself is a custom made. It's got all silicone underneath, so it's like kind on the skin.
Yeah.
That takes 6 weeks to make and £35 per cap. And then the wig makers then ventilate the hair on top of this cap. So at the minute, it costs us £500. Anyone that's been through any chemo or anything will know that these full lace wigs cost, for human hair, like over £1,000. It takes them 60 hours to make. So if you think of that over 2 weeks... they're massively underpaid. Even if it was 60 hours at £10 an hour, that'd be £600. So, but we just haven't got the funds in the pot currently, but they're just doing us a huge, huge discount because they see the work that we do and they really want to help us.
How does somebody get a beautiful wig like that?
I haven't raised £1,000 to get a wig, and I'd have thought like it'd be more than 500. So then when I got my wig, I give the other 500 to another little lady that came by a wig.
So she donated it to us.
I feel such a lack of a human being within myself. I think it was Claire, Millie's mum.
Yeah, it was.
Told them about me and like organised it for us.
Yeah.
I think you have to like ring and like.
Yeah. So anyone under 18 living anywhere in the UK, so any type of hair loss, so it could be alopecia, trichotillomania, cancer treatments, anyone can come to us and you can have one hair accessory and one wig or hair replacement system per year from the charity, all free of charge.
How long have you been going?
I've been going 5 years. But to start with, we did the trial for 6 months, and then it was just like one or two kids every now and then that had come to me. And then now, since social media has just boomed the last 5 years, more awareness is getting out there. I've not even approached GPs, cancer hospitals. I've not gone to them yet because I'm just so scared of new referrals.
When I come in to get my turbo, I took a leaflet and I stuck it up in the kitchen on my ward, and since then
the new referrals are coming.
And it was like, I know Tallulah and I need a wig.
Yeah, she's a little brand ambassador now. But
how do you deal with that then, if like there's so many people coming to you, like how would you deal with that demand?
So usually, like in November, it was about 5-6 a month children that were helped, so I was doing that alongside my full time job, and then it tripled to 15. March already, we're on 16. So this is why I'm just reaching out. You know, if anyone can spare £25 a month, you can cancel it at any time. It's on our website, just a monthly donation. You know, we're not asking for big amounts. If you wanted to sponsor a child, £500, then you get the pictures with the parents' permission. And obviously, we ask them to do a thank you letter, thanking them for the wig. So there's lots of options on the website if you wanted to help us. But just at the minute, I'm just trying to reach out there because I know it's going to go big, because I put so much time and effort into these wigs, because it's the next generation. If I was, you know, I think they've got a stigma, wigs, aren't they? You know, we'll send you some videos for the podcast, you know, all the before and afters that we do. And I just think, why should celebrities walk around with these amazing wigs? You know, the children need it more than anything because they're developing into the adults of the next generation. You know, they need that confidence, need to feel like themselves again and not be depressed. You know, mental health, it's rife at the minute, isn't it, as it is. So I think a lot of, especially like in a male dominant world, like in BNI and stuff that I've been going, that networking, it's hard to put across how much hair is impacting children.
Yeah, that's the thing, you see. It's just like, it's really hard for me to sort of empathise with it.
Yeah.
And understand it. Now, talking to you two, I totally get it. I really understand the importance. And you've got to do more of this and start sharing this.
Definitely.
I think when before I got Paula, if anyone said like, oh, I'm like so poorly, I'd be like, oh, like, just if they really said anything about being poorly or anything, I'd be like feeling sorry for them and stuff. But now if they're like in bed and they have a cold and I'm like, these kids on the ward with like cancer and they're running around.
Yeah.
And it's like, you have to have empathy for people, but at the same time, it's just hard to when you've seen them kids on the ward be so poorly.
Yeah.
But so like running around on electric cars and dancing on the ward with the music box. And you like our ward is like a madhouse, like with like kids running around, and you have like a music box that like plays different songs. You can pick the song and like lights up, and you can hear it around the ward, and the kids are just dancing there. Or like the play workers will put games up on the ward. There's like a projector that you can play games on the floor, or electric cars that you can drive around the ward in, like a playroom and everything like that.
But it's that moving from the wall where it's a safe space and you've all got this shared experience to coming out into the new world.
Like I'll go into town or anything and like people just stare, and sometimes you get really frustrated from it, but it's when like kids will stare and I'm like, you should like
Teach your children.
Like, I remember I went to Starbucks once and I was like, I seen this little girl, she had like this curly hair, and I was like, I love your hair. And my mum was like, thank you. And then when I walked out, I could see her mum explaining to her like why I didn't have hair and stuff. And I was like, that's what everyone should do with their kids. And maybe they wouldn't like, because I feel like if a 9-year-old with no hair or someone young was walking around with no hair and like a kid just said something to him, I feel like it would make him really upset.
Yeah.
I feel like it'd make anyone upset, but like a little girl or a little boy, it would just make him really upset, because it's just like, why do they have hair? And I don't think they understand it like we understand it.
Yeah.
I think as well, it's really good now how a lot of things is becoming popular to be filmed. You know, the kids are really being comfortable on screen, and obviously we asked beforehand, you know, whether they want to be filmed, or it's totally up to the parents and the child's discretion, but everyone's happy now to raise awareness, and we've got a video of all the, you know, some of the reveals, and I think if I send you that, you know, to see the little faces light up, you know, when they see the new hair.
And Ollie's is good in it, yeah. She's like in shock, and then she's outside feeling herself with her hair.
So did you do this on your Instagram, do you? You do on the Little Lady Locks Instagram, do a bit?
So yes, mainly on the Instagram.
What is the Instagram?
Just Little Lady Locks, all one word.
Make sure I'm following you, because this is ridiculous if I'm not. Little Lady Locks.
You'll see in our stories too, coming here this morning.
Follow. Big, massive fucking follow.
Thank you. But yeah, I think if you just go on the Instagram, look on the first few videos, you'll absolutely fall in love with our charity. Like, I can't put across in words how much this means to them and how much it changes their life until you actually physically see it. Like, everyone thinks hair is just hair, but it's okay you saying that with a head full of hair, shave your head, and then you walk around in society and you then tell me that it's not impacting your life.
Doing this, is how has it impacted your life, doing... working with Tallulah, working with Thing. What were you like before Little Lady Locks, and how has that changed your perspective on life?
Yeah, I think, you know, running a hair extension business, you know, I kind of wanted to go on all the nice holidays. I used to go out with a DJ and go around the world and just lip pedding.
Yada, yada, yada.
And life was just a bit pretentious. And then now, just doing this, I'm just, that's all I want to focus on. Like, literally the biggest wealth is your health. Like, and I think as soon as people see that, it just takes your life into just to a whole new level. It's just so heartwarming and fulfilling. Like, this is my calling. Like, I'm just so happy that I can help him.
What did you think of Ashley when you first met her, before talking to her?
I was a bit shy at first, but now I'd actually, like... I've spoken to her, and I've, like, since, like, transplants, I think it's because I speak to so many doctors and stuff, I'm more open when I'm speaking.
I think, is he saying, like, was she comfortable?
I was comfortable with Ashley. Like, I trusted her, like, that I knew she would make me a good wig and that I'd be really happy with it. And then when I walked in, like, the room, and I see, like, the wig on the side, and I was like, in shock, but I didn't know what it would look like on my head. And then when she pulled the curtain down, and it just like...
What was that feeling when you first...
I just looked like me again.
Did
how
you?
I did, yeah. But obviously I wasn't like, because when I was pulling...
Was that the first time? How long has that gap been when you first felt like yourself again?
I think I shaved my head in June. Right. And then I got my wig in the start of August, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the middle of August. And then that's when I felt like myself.
An instant bump inside you, though.
I got my wig on my birthday, didn't I?
Yes.
I got my wig on my birthday, so I was due to get it, and it was my birthday, so I shaved my head at the start of January. The start of June, literally the 2nd of June. And then I got my wig on the 23rd of August, so it's kind of like that. But I never felt like myself whilst it was falling out, because I just didn't look like me, because... like, it wasn't really hair, it was just like strands of hair that was left. But I think a big part of a girl's life is the hair. a lot of girls anyway, because I like it's good just to style it and stuff. And I used to do these curl wraps that I was really good at. I used to do my mum's and my sister's. And then when I first come home, my sister asked me to do them again, but I had no hair. When I first come home with no hair, I was like, my sister asked me to do them, and when I was doing them, my mum just burst out crying because she just like hit her, like, I should be in my room doing that, not doing my sister's with no hair. But yeah, my sister always asked me to curl hair and straighten hair, and I'm like,
it's a roller coaster, isn't it? Welcome to my life.
I'm really protective of my new hair now, though, because I'm like, not using any shampoos or conditioners with anything in it. Like, it's like zero of everything I'm gonna use, and like I won't put heat on it. Like, I can't put heat on it anyway, it's too sharp, but I won't put any heat on it anymore or dye or anything. I just can't touch it, I'm just too scared. Like, I hate putting clips in it or anything.
So can I ask what you thought of the charity then, if you thought that you couldn't find the empathy? Do you get what I mean? Like, from a man's point of view, do you just think, oh...
From a man's point of view, I'm just like... I don't know if it's just me or it's a man's point of view, but just like, I just got no attachment to what I look like my hair and stuff like that. So I can't think, you know, I'm just like, look, if I just shave my hair off, I'd shave my hair off, and I'm just like, whatever.
Right,
but
yeah.
I've never talked to anybody as amazing as Tallulah. And like the strength that she's got, and I've never met anybody who's had what she's been through. For me to kind of, for somebody just to tell me, but now sitting with her, I'm just like, mother.
Yeah. I feel like when you actually speak to someone with Paula. I think it changes your point of
totally.
View.
Totally.
I think before I was Paula, like, obviously I said I had empathy for people, but now you think of it and someone goes like, oh, I feel so poorly, I've got a really bad cold, and you're like,
there's a big difference.
Like, I remember this girl was like, she was being horrible to my sister, and then she started to like be mean to me, and I was like, and she was like, I'm going for a, like, obviously after I've empathy from, but my one of my family members is like super poorly, like, and he's learning to walk again and stuff, and I was like, and she was being horrible to me, like, you have to, like, my brother was so much poorly and then you, and but it wasn't, but like, I don't think she realized, because she's never really saw it.
Yeah.
As like poorly as you would be, like, you have to have empathy for them because he was poorly, but you have to think of it of a different point of view. Like, now I do anyway, because I can't see, like, feel sorry for them, but then get myself down because I was so much, like, I was really poorly. Obviously, like, I can't say I don't feel, I feel really sorry for them, and I was by his side, like, the whole time when he was poorly. But then now you're like, just like, yeah, it's a big difference. But
what was it like trying to work, learn to walk again?
It was confusing because I felt like I could walk, but then I just couldn't. Like, I'd stand up and I'd be like, I can walk, but then they'd let go of me and I'd just collapse. But they've got to let you fall. Like, they can't pick you back up. Like, they can't try to catch you. Because if they try to catch you, they can fall too on top of you and it'll hurt more. So they've just got to let you fall. I think that's hard but to get a few bruises from that. But it was okay. I just had to be in the right mindset for it.
But even when she come to the salon, you know, to help out, I said, oh, can get you a few jobs sat down if you want to come and help for the charity. She was, and then she's walking in, and that's the first, she didn't even tell me that she was learning to walk again. So I said, oh, what's happened? She had a crutch, and it was literally weeks after it happened, wasn't
it? Yeah, like, I went into my school after and I was like speaking to them, and none of them knew that I was paralysed. They were just thought I could walk normal, and then I was like, it was just...
And I was trying to help her, and she's like, no, like, she's just so strong-minded, and it's...
I remember we was doing something with Kaz Crossler, and she went to me, can you go get my water? And I just got it for her. I didn't think anything of it. And then when I seen her the other day, she was like, I was thinking about it all night, because I was like, how could I be so selfish to ask you to go get my water when you're learning to walk? And I was like, I just didn't think anything of it. I just went and got you water. I didn't think that I could walk again. But I think it's better if you'd push me to get stuff for you, because it'd just...
Yeah. A lot of people lay in bed and be,
yeah, it's, you know,
go and get me a cup.
It's just normal.
Add the man plus, Sarah.
It's normality if you just get me to go get you water, because that's what I'd normally do if I could walk. Like, I'd just go get it. But I don't know.
Yeah, I think just the awareness bit of it, you know, going back to just, like, talking, you just need to get on more, you know, podcasts, both of you. You need to be doing more Instagram. You just need to be... you know, make people understand.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm 100% like totally changed.
Oh, really? Yeah, I love that.
Huge.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for coming on, both of you.
It's been a pleasure.
No.
Yeah, you destroyed me, but just like very, very inspired at the same time, to be honest.
I can't cry, I've got mascara on.
Yeah.
You don't cry.
I've had too much.
So she's ringing the bell on the 5th of April.
What does that mean?
So it means like end of treatment. So, but we have to wait for these next test results because my last bone marrow biopsy said that I had 10.6, minus 10.6 again, which they think it'll just bounce around for a while and this next one should come back negative. But I've been feeling better than I did, so fingers crossed it comes back negative. And if it does, I can ring the bell April 5th.
Yeah.
And then I'm having a party on April 6th, which is the day I got diagnosed. But because April 5th is Friday, I have to ring it on a Friday because all my doctors and stuff will be there. And then I can get my line took out, Hikma line, which is in my chest, going from my bloodstream, which means if I get any temps or anything, because usually if I get a temp of 38, it should be 37 or 36. But if I get a temp of 38, I've got to go into hospital for 2 days to start antibiotics in case it's an infection. But because if I get my line, because of my line, if I get a line infection, it can be like life-threatening. And then if I get my line to count, it means no more hospital stays for me. If I get a temp, they can manage it with Calpol, and that I can go back to school at April.
Yay!
Yeah.
That's what's happening. Yeah,
that is what's happening.
I should have brought my beads of courage today.
What's that? Because
every time I get something done, I get a bead, and I've had it since April 6th, and it's just my whole treatment on my bead. So if I get a blood transfusion, I get a red bead. If I get platelet, if I have hospital stay, I get a yellow bead. If I have chemo, it's a white bead, or my bone marrow transplant was a...
Does anybody else do that?
Everyone on the ward has one. And then if you have a bone marrow transplant, you get like a special huge bead on it, or the end of radiation, I got a graduation hat bead, and like they got me a present and a certificate for the end of radiation, and so like cute. Yeah. But I was meant to go ICU the other few weeks ago, but it was full from obviously my windpipe being paralysed and stuff. I was meant to be going to ICU, but the ward was full, so they couldn't fit me on there. So they kept coming to see me on the ward and stuff. So, yeah.
Are you going to put ringing the bell on the Instagram?
Yeah, of course. Definitely.
What do you want from this? What do you want? How much money do you need? What do we need to do? Where do people need to go to?
Littleladylocks.com.
Yeah.
At the top, it just says donate. And then just you can set up from £1 a month,
yeah,
all the way up to anything that you can afford. But we are pushing, if people can afford £25 a month, I feel like that's affordable for a lot of people.
What else can other people do apart from the £25 a month?
They can raise awareness for us.
They can buy a hoodie or a clip off.
We've got loads of accessories. Mm-hmm. They can raise awareness for us, cut the hair off for us, do a sponsored haircut. They can do a sports event, a bake sale, anything to raise money for us, our awareness. Mm-hmm. What else can they do? Salons collect hair. We use recycled hair extensions on the turbans and stuff. So everything is on there. You have just hit a brick wall with you asking me. But the main thing that we need now, we've got so much hair, it's just paying the wig makers to turn that hair into the wigs. It's around 2 month wait at the minute. Jeez. Whereas the other charities are within a few days. So we give them option first and say, you can go to the other charity. But they say, no, we want to wait for yours. So we want to raise enough money to have wigs in stock so they can get them straight away.
And are you doing these type of videos to get your message out there? Are you being this raw on your Instagram?
No, I'm not, I'm really not. I feel like... Yeah, we need to push, but I think...
We're going to do a new interview, aren't we, to see everything that
we we're going to do a... Because the one on YouTube was before her operation. She was a little... She was shy and timid and... It was just us editing the film and stuff, and it's just not good. It's not that, it just don't get the message across as well as we've been speaking today. So, yeah, we'll definitely take your advice and get out there more.
I think I've got to go. I can't handle anymore.
Yeah.
Say about the bone marrow? To sign up to the bone marrow?
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah, so to get... bone marrow, a transplant, you need a donor and you have to sign up on the, I don't even know what it's called, the Anthony...
It should be... We'll send you the link
and then you have to sign up for it, and they usually want a young male, but they'll take any really, but you can't be pregnant and you can't have like any colds or coughs or anything.
Yeah,
but yeah, young males are a big one. So
mine was a 29 male that I got, but it's to save the lives, and also if you like donate blood or donate platelets, one bag of blood will save 3 lives, so it's a lot.
Yeah,
fucking hell, you're blood,
So yes, yeah. Either way,
I'm really excited to see the young lady that you turn into. I don't know what he's going to be. He's going to be a nurse. I feel like it's going to be some sort of motivational speaking.
They took 1,000 litres of bone marrow from my donor, but I only needed 500. So the other 500 just went to waste. So that's why they need more donors. Because there was a little girl on the ward that struggled to find a donor because of her skin colour. So... because of her skin colour, there wasn't a lot of donors with that. That was the match of her, because you need your blood type and your all different. So that's why we need loads.
And is she okay, or is she?
Yeah, she's okay now. She got it. Yeah.
Okay, good.
You're going to be a motivational speaker, I'm telling you.
Definitely. I think that azalea in lockdown triggered a lot of people to sign up. Ashley Kane, and. There was a little girl in lockdown that needed a bone marrow transplant, but she couldn't get a donor.
Yeah, I think she was 2 years old and she didn't make it. She raised a lot of awareness, didn't she, for it?
Yeah.
Needs more though, doesn't it?
So, yeah, needs definitely. More.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you very much, both of you. Kind of, maybe. Maybe I just love you both. You're both amazing. Thank you. Thank you for listening, everybody. Goodbye. Your brand new